Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I still pastor Merritt Assembly of God after 26 years. Started a long, long time ago in a land very close to about 3 miles away from the radio station here. So thank you for tuning in and making WMIE and the Refresh Radio program part of your day. I want to say thank you to the folks at Jets Concrete. 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Like I've said before, and I'll say again, the companies that I recommend here on the radio program, they're people we do business with. They're connected to Merritt Assembly of God in some form, some fashion, and we just want to be a blessing to the body of Christ. That's what we want to do. And one of the challenges that you can find is when dealing with people, of whether or not they're going to be people of integrity, people of honesty, people of their word, especially in today's day and time. And Jets Concrete has done numerous projects for us through the years. When we came to the church was literally in a condition of bankruptcy. The district had to pay off a note that the bank had, and then we got to pay the district back. But we decided at that point in time that we were going to do our projects as we could pay for them, and that's the way that we have operated since 1992-93. It was December of 92 when I came. And Jits Concrete, they've done a number of projects for us that have beautiful structure and decrease the amount of dirt that tracks in and things like that. And I recommend them highly to you. We've used them in the past. We will use them again in the future. And if you have any block or concrete work, I recommend them to you highly. 321-536-5804. That's Jits Concrete. 321-536-5804. This last opportunity I get to take to invite you to our special services this coming Sunday morning and Sunday night, 10:30 of a morning, 6:30 of an evening. And Reverend Mark Perkey, an evangelist, full-time evangelist, he travels the country. And after my travels during the holidays, I have a new reason to praise God. And that is, thank God that I do not travel as frequently as what I had to over the weekend, because that was exhausting. If you know someone that is a traveling salesman, that is one of those people that flies on a weekly basis or a semi-weekly basis, I want to encourage you to do something for them, and that is to pray for them, because that is a very, very physically demanding, mentally demanding way to get through your work week. And so Reverend Perkey will be with us Sunday morning, 10:30, Sunday night at 6:30. We'd love to have you come and be a part of that. Also want to let you know, if you do have an area that you would like for us to pray for you, that we would be able to pray fervently for, and that is an area for you to grow in 2019, or the area of your greatest need. And again, it's not a specific, pray that my fingernail on my right pinky gets healed. You know, it's not that, but you know, if your health is failing and it's hindering your ability to do what God has called you to do, then, you know, let us know about that and we will pray for your health. It might be emotional healing. It might be financial. There may be a lot of areas that you need to grow in. I could make a list, but it would fall short. And so I don't want to tell you what to put on there, but, it's whatever need you have that is preventing you from standing fully equipped in the area of God's will for your life. Contact us by phone, by email, by mail, and we will add you to our list. What we're going to do, we don't have any names on these things, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a card, produce the front and back, and it's going to have these needs listed on it in a generalized form. So that people can take those and we can touch heaven, because heaven wants the body of Christ to be able to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And we're going to see the kingdom of God go forward as we touch heaven and make sure that we have our brothers and sisters by back, you know, that we're there watching out for them in prayer. So that's something that you can do. It won't cost you anything. We don't charge for our services here. You know, if you need somebody to stand in faith with you, we would love to pray for you in those situations. We just want to be able to minister here on the radio in a way that is going to benefit the body of Christ. So I want to take you this morning. We're going to touch here on the end of the week. We're going to touch on a few relative topics when it comes to forgiveness. We'll start off next week with a passage of scripture that's got a great deal of things together. But I want to start off today in Mark chapter 2. We read this story in Matthew earlier this week, and I just want to go back and clarify. I didn't feel like I did an adequate job of explaining this particular point, so I want to go back and touch on that. Mark chapter 2, verse number 1, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." So I want to talk to you about forgiveness. The thing that I wanted to share with you from this passage, and I don't feel like I did it justice the earlier this week, and that is that the religious community of Jesus' day thought that the concept of men forgiving other people's sins was blasphemous. Now, I just want to remind you of a fact that, because we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount here, Jesus said, "Forgive others the way that you would want to be forgiven." That you and I are to forgive and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Those are people that owe you something. There's a grievance or something that has come against you. And as a result of that, you want to forgive them. They thought that speaking that way was blasphemous. But I want to remind you that Jesus is never going to tell you to do anything that is evil. Jesus is never going to tell you to do anything that is sinful. Jesus is never going to tell you to do something that is impossible. And blasphemy means simply to speak evil of. So these people were taking the concept of Jesus proclaiming forgiveness to this man for his sins, and they thought that was blasphemous because they viewed that as putting it into the realm of something that only God could do. And I want you to understand that Jesus is the one that paid the price for our sins. He is the one that extends to us the opportunity to have our sins forgiven. But as recipients of that grace, recipients of salvation, we are supposed to be messengers that conduct that same aspect of forgiveness. Everybody is either going to retain grievances against themselves or they're going to forgive them. It's a matter of which one you and I are going to do. So I just wanted to address that and see if I couldn't bring some added insight to that. Back in 1997, I will never forget 1997. Let's see, is that right? I'm sorry, it was not 1997. It was a different year. I remember the incident. I just did my math wrong. I was preaching the concept of the year of Jubilee. In fact, it was such an impactful sermon series that the worship leader that I had at that point in time got a dog, and she named her dog Jubilee. And that dog lived for a long, long time. And it was just something that impacted. And in that sermon, the concept of Jubilee was a time. It came every 7 years, and then there was a greater degree of it that came every 50 years. And in that 50th year, you were restored to your original plot of inheritance, the time that things had transpired, transactions had taken place, people bought and sold and all that sort of stuff. If it was just in a regular field, it was supposed to revert back to the original owner. And as I was preaching that series, there were a couple of things that I said. One is that we have the privilege of being able to cancel the debt that others may owe to us. I said, now don't write your mortgage company and say, Pastor Bob said this is a year of Jubilee. It's a year of debt cancellation, and so I'm just going to consider my mortgage canceled, and I'm not going to pay you any more payments. I said, don't take that attitude with your car loan or any other debt that you might have. You don't take that attitude, because that's not what the year of Jubilee was about. The year of Jubilee was a year of empowering people to cancel other people's debt. And so what I churched to do was to forgive anyone who had ever hurt them, to cancel any grudge. There was one translation I had one time that it talked about people who nursed a grudge. They, in my mind, they put it into the intensive care unit. They wanted to make sure that its life was sustained, and that hurt and that wound, it stayed fresh in their minds, and it stayed just as lethal today as it was then. I want my hurts healed. I don't want them imprisoning me. And so I shared with them that we should cancel the debt, the hurt that and there had been some pretty serious hurts that had gone on. You know, by then we had already gone through our first church crisis and maybe even a second church crisis by that period of time, and we just said, you know what, God, all of that's gone. We're wiping the slate clean, like I talked about when we started this series and shared on Tuesday. We're going to send it away. We're going to cancel it. We're going to send it away. It's no longer welcome in this community of health that we're going to have from going forward. We cancel the debt. And we did that. We had an altar time. We released people from the hurts and the wounds. I'll tell you what happened. One of the people who had actually caused some strife and discord at one point in time, they came back sometime later, and they repented of their actions. that had taken place earlier. And I told him, I said, we forgave you a long, long time ago. Welcome back. There's that's happened a number of times. There was another situation where I just told you about the church's financial situation when we came. It was debt that was incurred sometimes, you know, decades before we got there. And I took a trip up to bless a person that had been very generous to Merit Assembly of God, and just as a way to say thank you. They never attended a service at Merit Assembly of God. God just laid us on their heart, and they ended up being a major blessing to Merit Assembly of God. Set us on a path that we had never been on before, and we've always been extremely grateful. And that worship leader that I was telling you about, they met me at a conference in DeLand, Florida, on the way back from that trip, and they had in their hands an envelope that said that the debt of Merit Assembly of God had been forgiven. It had been wiped out. There were no more payments that needed to be made. It was absolved. And they said that we had been more faithful and paying on that situation than any other church that they had dealt with in the same manner they dealt with us. What a great testimony. When we forgive others, it opens up the windows of heaven so that we can also not only forgive, but experience forgiveness on a completely different level than what we had before. That was something that was really good. The second thing I shared with them during that sermon on Jubilee of canceling debts was that for a Christian, it's not every 50 years. We get to live that every single day. Today, day of Jubilee. Jesus took the pattern in the Old Testament and he shows it in full manifestation in the New Testament. And that is that you and I get to experience the full blessing of being able to see people forgiven for the glory of God. I don't know how that makes you feel, but it makes me feel great. Did you know that you don't have to wait to the end of a service on Sunday morning before you give your heart to Jesus? You don't have, if the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart and saying, you know, there's some areas in your life that you need to surrender to me so that others can experience forgiveness. You can let it go. You can send it away. You don't have to wait till Sunday to do it. You can do it right now. All you got to do is say, God, I want to thank you. I want to forgive those people, and I want to release them into your loving care. And God will take care of it. God will take care of it. If you have never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you don't have to wait till Sunday. You can do it right now. It's absolutely something that can take place for the glory of God. That type of lifestyle is nothing to speak evil about. It is not blasphemous. It is blessed. It is blessed. Living a life of being forgiven and forgiving is a blessed life. Do you know that there are some people that they don't want you, and even in churches, talking about the blood of Jesus? They don't want you talking about the cross of Christ. They don't want to be talking about all of that sort of stuff. To them, addressing those things, I've known people that even change the words of songs. If the words contained elements of the blood of Jesus that was shed for us, if it talked about the cross, if it called people sinners, people would change the words to make it more palatable. I want you to understand that coming to grips with the reality of the offense and the hurt and the pain that we've caused and the pain that God went to so that we could experience forgiveness, that's not blasphemous. It's just reality. Sometimes we need to experience the reality. And so I just wanted to bring some added insight to that. The other thing that I want to take you to today is in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I'm going to be breaking in a new Bible here before long. This my good old standard preaching Bible that my wife blessed me with several years ago. The trip to Fiji just about finished it off. It was already pretty well weathered, but it's now just about seen its last sermon. Verse number 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. It sounds like the same truth all over again. I just wanted to share with you one added insight, and that's from verse number 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. The reality is unforgiveness will hinder your prayer life. It'll take the strength and the vibrancy right out of your prayer life. It will be a major barrier between you and God. It is impossible to embrace a God who forgives massive, massive sins. And for you and I, at the same time of embracing him, to hang on to a trivial offense. Well, you didn't see the way they looked at me. They didn't even say, I might not even have seen you. You know, I can't tell you the number of times that people thought that something was being done to them. And, you know, the reality is other people didn't even know that they were there. And so I just want you to know that if you want an effective and fervent prayer life, the best way to get 2019 off to a successful start is to make sure that there is nothing between members in the body of Christ. Forgive them. Now, there's a couple of different passages. There's one where Jesus says, if you are at the altar and you're praying and you have something against someone else, you need to forgive them. And then there's another place that it says, if you are praying and you remember that somebody has something against you, stop your praying, get up, go to that person and resolve the issue. Now, when you pair those two teachings together, you realize that God's optimal plan, whenever one brother has injured another brother, or one member of the body of Christ has injured another member of the body of Christ, is that the Holy Spirit is working in the hearts of both people. And that when they're praying, the Holy Spirit is saying, we need to deal with this. And then on the other person, he's knocking. I don't know if you could hear the different tones in the knocks there. He's knocking on the other person's heart. Actually, he's knocking in both people's hearts, and he's saying, we need to address this before our conversation goes any further. And if we will respond to the invitation of the Holy Spirit, and we will say, God, if we can table this conversation for just a moment, I need to go address this situation with this brother over here, and I'm going to come right back so that we can deal with what we were talking about here. And as the person who was offended arises and the offending party arises and they begin to journey, God's optimal plan is that they meet together on the way, both of them thankful for the forgiveness that they have from God and wanting to make sure that there is nothing in an earthly relationship that is out of whack, because they don't want the spiritual relationship that they have with the Father to be out of alignment. It's listen, as long as we are in this world, we are going to experience hurt and pain and loss and injury from other people. It really does happen. But you and I, we don't have to allow that to rule and reign. We don't have to let that go unaddressed. We can address it. Two more thoughts here, and that is this. John chapter 20, verse number 23, it says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And so we have that option to forgive. We also have the option not to forgive. But remember, if you retain another person's sins against them, God's going to retain your sins against you. And I don't think any of us really want that to happen. And then Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34, Jesus is on the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. We assume a lot of times that people are fully cognizant of their actions and the repercussions thereof. Jesus' prayer on the cross actually lets us know that even though sometimes their actions can be deliberate, people may be ignorant of what they're actually doing. And we need to operate with a good deal of grace and say, you know, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I don't know if you've ever sinned unintentionally or not, but I have. And there have been times when I thought I was doing something right and turned out I was doing something wrong. David, when they were hauling the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, thought he was doing something right. He was doing it the way the Philistines had done it, but he wasn't doing it the way that God had told the Levites to do it. There was loss, there was death that happened as a result of that. And David got his nose out of joint. He was offended. He said, "Far be it from me, that thing's never coming here." And he reconsidered when Obed-Edom started getting blessed. And he said, "Let's do it God's way." I want to encourage you today, if somebody's wounded you, just forgive them. They might not have had any awareness whatsoever of the extent of the pain they were causing. God bless you. Live a forgiving weekend, and we will see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."